Okay, everybody, good morning. Boker Tov. We're going to learn for a four shlema for Tema Rivka Bas Bela Yah. For a four shlema, so Shar Chola Yisro. We left off yesterday, and we have long, long daffin here in Brachos. They're beautiful daffin, but they're long, so we're going to move a little bit quick today, as opposed to always when I move very slowly. So today we're going to move a little bit quickly. And we're on Chav Dalet Omud Beis in the middle of the daf, by the two dots, there's four lines into the start of the middle sides line. So let's just pick up right away. Start off a very interesting story. The story over here is going to be about Rabbi Abba, although the Shem Mitzvah and Balacha brings down, the Maritz Chayitz rather brings down, the story is really about Rav Zeira. We have the story elsewhere, it's about Rav Zeira. And he did something interesting. He wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael, and his Rebbe said no. So the Shor Mitzvah Balacha brings down here a raya that from the Gemara that doesn't say that he did the wrong thing. So he wants to bring a raya that if your parents or your rabbi tell you not to move to Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to move to Eretz Yisrael anyway. That's one of those things where they don't have the say over you. That's a different story. That's a whole discussion also, whether you can force her to go with you or whether she can force you to go with her. So that's a separate discussion. So Rabbi Abba or Rabbi Zeira, whoever it was, have a komishtamit minei Rabbi Yehuda. He stayed away from his Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda, because his Rabbi was going to find out that he was going to Eretz Yisrael and would tell him, no, you can't go. Because he held like a shita that you're not allowed to go up to Eretz Yisrael b'choma, with force, and you can only go when Mashiach comes, which is very similar to the shita of the Satmar Rav, Zatzal, and not the shita that is more commonly held in our communities, that of course you're allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. So anyway, the have a koboy lemesach li'Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he knew his Rebbe wouldn't let him. The Rebbe Yehuda, his Rebbe said, is of the opinion, kol olam yibavel Eretz Yisrael over b'yasei. Somebody leaves Bavel, which is the place of learning, to go to Eretz Yisrael, that's not allowed. Shnei ma bavel yavol v'shom yu adyom poktios from the Hashem. You're not allowed to go up with force, according to some, to Eretz Yisrael. According to others, you can't leave. The idea over here isn't anything really about Eretz Yisrael. The idea is that you're not allowed to go and leave a Malkum Torah to go to someplace, even Eretz Yisrael. In any event, that's not going to be the focus of our discussion right now. The focus is, he wanted to hear one more vart from his Rebbe before he left. Omar, Ezav Eshma Minei Milsa Mibeiz Vada. I want to hear one more vart over here from the Beis Medrash. Over here, the Beis Vad, Rashi says over here, is basically the Beis Medrash. And he said, then I'll go. I'll leave Eretz Yisrael afterwards. So, Vada Ofik, he went, Ozal Ashkeche Lutonu, the Tony Kameder of Yehuda. He found one of the Amorayim who was learning Brises in front of Yehuda. Again, we mentioned many times, they were called Tanoim over here, but they're not Tanoim. These are Amorayim that would learn Brises. So the Tony, he found this Tana, who was an Amora, who was learning Brises in front of the Tony Kameder of Yehuda, who was an Amora himself. And Hoya Omeid B'Tfila, and he said, Hoya Omeid B'Tfila, somebody is standing in the Shemoneh Esrei, V'Nis'atesh, and he has passing gas from below. This is not talking about sneezing. Here the word Nis'atesh is talking about passing gas. Mamtim HaShiachah LeHaRuach, you have to wait, you're not allowed to continue your Shemoneh Esrei, you have to wait till the foul odor passes, V'Chozim Esbal, and then you can continue davening. Shemur says, others say, Ika D'Yarmei, what happened over here was, Hoya Omeid B'Tfila, he was in the Milish Manasseh and he felt the need, the urge to go and pass gas and he couldn't control himself. Obviously, you should try to control yourself, but if sometimes you can't control yourself, so what should he do? You should move. You're standing in a holy place where you're davening Shemoneh Esrei. So you should move from that place. Move backwards 4 amos from where you were standing Shemoneh Esrei. Mitten the Shemoneh Esrei. You move. And then if you have to, can't control yourself, pass the gas over there. And then, wait till the foul odor passes. And then, you can continue davening over there. Vomer. And he added this insert into the tefillah, which we're not knowing to say. And one of the reasons they bring down, because it would be very embarrassing for a person in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei to move 4 amos. Everybody say, why is this guy moving in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? It's too early, even no matter how fast he's davening, for him to be taking the 3 steps back at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei. So everybody realizes he's passing gas. Yes, this would be very embarrassing. So therefore, our minhag is not to say this. But they had a minhag. They would insert in the middle of the davening over here something like a Asha Yotzar, similar to it. Vomer, Ribono Shel Olam, Yitzar Tanu, Nikavim, Nikavim, Chalulim, Chalulim. You created us with all sorts of orifices over here and openings in our body. Goluvia Dula Fenecha is well known to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Cherpaseinu, Klimaseinu, our embarrassment, our humiliation over here, Bechayenu, Ubiachriseinu, in our lifetimes and even afterwards. Rima Vesolea, like we'll say, after we die, we're going to be eaten by worms and by insects. Umaskil mimakum shepasek. And then he goes back to the Shemoneh Esrei from the place that he had left off. He doesn't go back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. He continues in the middle of Reino Vanyenu, so he continues from over there. So this is what he heard. Omar, many delete the word lay because he's not talking to anybody else. He's really talking to himself. Omar, he said to himself, Ilu lo bosi, elu lushmo, dove zeh, die. If I hadn't come to the Beis Medrash to hear this vart, if only this was the only vart I'd heard, it would have been kedai to come. This is such an important vart, the proper way that one should conduct themselves. Again, a person has to realize you're speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have to conduct yourself not only with a spiritual as well as a physical purity, but on a higher level than normal. Normally, a person has to go to the bathroom. He goes to the bathroom. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. But when you're dealing with that Kodesh Baruch, you have to make sure you evacuate your bowels before you daven, you go to the bathroom before you daven, you don't do various bodily functions that you would otherwise be allowed to do in appropriate ways. So when you're dealing directly with that Kodesh Baruch, you have to try to become more holy, and these things all should be taken care of before the davening. Tana Rabban, Hayoyashem Taliso. Somebody's in bed. It doesn't mean that he's wearing his talis. Again, taliso is their word for garment. So it could be his covers. He's in his bed, and it's freezing cold. Again, not everybody lived in the Mediterranean. They lived sometimes in very cold weather, and it was freezing cold, and he was tucked in his blanket. He was totally covered up with his blanket. So what should he do? He has to say kriyashma, but he's naked. So you can't have your body and your erva uninterrupted. This is the source for a gartel. This is the source of making some sort of a hefsek in between your body and the upper body and the lower body. So then you can wrap the blanket in some way around your neck, so you now have this chatzitza, you have this gartel, so to say, in between your upper body, your eyes, and your lower body, the genital area. And then the kari kriyashma. And others say, the eshomim alibo, that you wrap it below your heart. So this way, your heart is where the separation is, not your neck, your heart. You have the garto, so to say, around the area below your heart, and that will separate between your body and the erva area. By the way, many paskin this lahalacha that the garto should ideally be worn on the skin. It can't be worn on the outside. Those that wear a garto. So Rosh Hashanah Shlita, we always say that your underwear, the elastic on your underwear, is the perfect garto. It's yotze all the shitos, and this way you really have the garto in the ideal place. When you're wearing your underwear, you have elastic underwear or any sort of a band around you, so that's the perfect garto, and the garto that many have the minute to wear on the outside. Okay, gizunte, nothing wrong with wearing another garto, but the real garto, he says, is the elastic or the band around your body that you have touching the skin, because that's really what many suggest. It has to be directly on the skin. In any event, the Tana Kama knew. So we have two opinions over here, one above the neck and one below the heart. So what's going on? The Tana Kama doesn't feel that the heart and the erva have to be separated. The Tana Kama, Hari Libo Roa is the erva. So he says, so the Libo Roa is erva's muti. He says, that's not the problem. It's your eyes shouldn't be seeing the erva, so to say. You have the separation. There shouldn't be a direct connection there. You have a separation. Now, obviously, you're covered up, so you're not seeing anything. It's not only a question of not seeing, there has to be a physical barrier. Now we enter into a conversation that could be happening more frequently. This is already something that would be noheg, or more common, or more shliach. So a person's walking on the filthy roads. You have all sorts of, I remember before they came out with the quote, pooper scooper laws, wherever you walked, people remember, back then you were walking, there was excrement from dogs all over the place. So a person's going to shul, okay? Different places still have this problem. So you're walking to shul, you want to start davening, you want to say kriyashma, you want to make sure you make zman kriyashma according to vasikin. So you're walking to shul, so you want to say the vasikin kriyashma. So you can't do this if there's excrement all over the place. So if somebody's walking through mevaos, having through nafos. So meniach yodo apivikari kriyashma. This opinion says all you have to do is put your hand over your mouth, and that's good enough. That separates you, so to say, from the excrement. Only Rechista said, I don't believe that. I can't believe that Ravuna Rav Yochanan said that. Halukim, it's like a lashon shvua. Im armeli Rav Yochanan b'pamei. If I heard it directly from Rav Yochanan, never mind hearing from Ravuna in the name of Rav Yochanan, even Rav Yochanan, who was his elder, who was his rabbi, told me this, lo tzaisinale, I wouldn't listen to it. That's not a good enough way. To cover up, so there's a separation between your words of Kiddusha and the Makom HaTinofes, that it somehow separates the two. No, it's not the seeing. Seeing Erva, we'll get to it. Seeing Erva, seeing excrement, we'll get to in a moment. He said the same thing. This was Rabbi Bar Chanan in the name of Yeshua and Levi. Rav Chista said, I'm shocked at that as well. Now the Gersa that we have is Yeshua and Levi. There is a Gersa that says Yeshua ben Nun. But they point out that that's the incorrect Gersa, and our Gersa is more correct. He said, even if the Rabbi of Yeshua and Levi had told me, with his own mouth, I wouldn't listen to him. Shmuel says, "Umi amar Rav Huna hachi? Did Rav Huna really say such a statement that Rav Yochanan said you're allowed to walk around in the mekomos in the two nafos and say kriyas shema as long as you cover your mouth?" From Rav Huna, Tam chacham also lo lamo b'makom tinofes. A Tam chacham can't even stand in a makom tinofes. Never mind say anything, because a Tam chacham, he's going to be learning. He's thinking and learning. L'fishyev shelo lamo b'li hira Torah. So he can't even stand in those places because never mind, you're not allowed to say it. You're not even allowed to think Torah in those places. So good advice to Tam chacham was immersed in his learning at all times. So don't even stand in those places. So how could Rav Huna say that you're allowed to say kriyas shema in those places? So he says, "Lo kashi, that's not a problem. Kamba omed, kamba mahalik. It depends if you're standing there or you're walking there. There's a difference. Walking there is allowed. Standing there, you're not allowed to." Or he says, "Umi am Rav Yochanan hachi? Did Rav Yochanan really say such a statement?" Again, "Vamar Rav Barachan am Rav Yochanan b'chol makom mutu lahare b'divrei Torah." You're allowed to go and think divrei Torah in any place, with the exception chutz v'deis amerechus v'deis akisei. In those places, not. And that's like makom hametunafos. They're foul places. You shouldn't go and be thinking Torah in those places. So how can Rav Yochanan tell us that you're allowed to cover your mouth with kriyas shema and say it? You want to give us the same terrors that you gave a moment ago to Rav Huna. There's a difference between standing there, that you're not allowed to do. But if you're just passing through, that's okay, because you're walking through quickly. That's not a problem. Gemara says, that can't be any. One time Rabbi Avo was walking behind his Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Avo was reading Kriyashma. And when he reached the places where it was filthy, there was excrement, whatever, so he stopped saying the Kriyashma. Ishtik, he was silent. Then, Amalel Rav Yochanan, after they finished going through, walking through the places that were Tunafos, mitten the Shema, he interrupts over here, Lehecha Nahadir, and he asks his Rebbe, where should I go? Do I go back to the beginning of Shema, or do I say over here Shema? Now, this is a very important side halach over here, and remember, Rav Shachter Shlita would say this, if somebody comes up to you, Yalav Yavo, yes, he's Rosh Chodesh, the guy forgot Yalav Yavo, he doesn't know, do I go back, do I not go back, he's still in the Shemoneh Esrei, what should I do? So he doesn't know what to do. So he could walk mid the Shemoneh Esrei up to the rabbi, ask the rabbi Yeshayla, mid the Shemoneh Esrei, the rabbi will tell him, and go back to his place and go David. Or if there's no rabbi there, you go to the Svarim Shrank, take out a Mishnah Brura and see what that law is. If you don't know, you're allowed to. That's not called an interruption. This one essay. Rav Shechter did point that the guy can't start arguing with you. The guy says, "Oh no, what about this? What about that?" You get the psak and that's it. You can't have a whole halachic conversation. But mitten d'shman esrei, mitten d'shma, you can interrupt because it's not called an interruption. We have the same idea. When you do netilas yadayim and there's no salt on the table, you're allowed to say salt. You're allowed to say whatever you need for the mitzvah. That's not called an interruption. So duration time we'll get to still. How long that duration will be. That's what he asked him right now. So that's what he asked him right now. Is there any duration of time over here? Do I go back to the beginning because I paused long enough or not? So that's what Rav Yochanan now responds to him. If you paused long enough over here that you could have finished off the entire Shemoneh Esrei, or entire Shema in this case, so then Chozel Rosh, then you have to go back. Then you have to go back to the beginning. That's not locha. Gemara says, "Hachi karmale." No, so here's the question. So then Rav Yochanan says that you're over here, you're supposed to stop. But Rav Yochanan said you don't have to stop. Gemara says, "No, hachi karmale." Lididi, I personally myself hold lo sirili. I don't hold that you have to have stopped, and therefore I also hold that you don't go back. You don't wait the whole time. You go back right where you are. You shouldn't stop. However, to you, the Surah law that you hold, then you hold, you have to stop. So then, if you wait, pause long enough, then you have to go back to the beginning. We have Bryce's in support of this.
You can say Shema while walking?
Yeah, so that's what we're going to get to in a moment also. We brought this down the other day, that only the parts that you have to have kavana for. We had a seven-way machlokas, if you remember back from Daf Yudalit. So we have a seven-way machlokas over there as to how much you need to have kavana. So the minimal share, we said, was the pasuk Shema and Baruch Shem. Ideally, Alev Avecha. Ideally, the first paragraph. Ideally, the second paragraph. Guess what? Ideally, the whole Shema you should have a kavana for. But the minimal amount is, remember we said they fell asleep, and the half asleep. So at least for Shema, you shouldn't walk during saying Shema itself, Baruch Shem. Then you can continue walking. That's the minimal amount. And we have a brayse in support of Rav Huna. Tani kavasi the Rav Huna. And Tani Kavasi Rav Chista. We have prices in support of each of them. Tani Kavasi Rav Huna, he said that you're allowed to go and walk. Oh, exactly like Rav Huna said. He said, Amore, here we have a Tanya to support him, a Bryson to support him. Tani Kavasi Rav Chista. We also have a Bryson to support Rav Chista, who said, no, you're not allowed to go and do that. If you're walking through these filthy areas, you're not allowed to say Kriyashma. Furthermore, if you're reading, And you came to the foul smelling place, it's posuk, you have to stop. Okay. So we have prices on the board of both. No, what happens if you didn't stop? Lo pasak. My, what's the din? So I'm a miyasha, but my Bible read the Rishubin look, Rishubin Levi, all of the course of open about somebody says in the pasuk in Yechezkel, Gamanina sati lahem, hukim lo tovim mishpatim lo yichyu bahem. You did wrong. I gave you a mitzvah to say kriyashma, and you messed it up by doing it in this way. That's not the right way to do kriyashma. You're actually doing a negative over here by saying the shma in those places. Rav Asi Omar, Hoy, Moshchei Ha'avon B'Chavli Yashav. You're doing over here something with Chavli Yashav over here. The Psukim explain over here. Rashi explains over here. B'Chavolim Sheinu Chazokim. So Nochim Linosik. You're talking about weak ropes over here that can easily break. So they're pulling you, so to say, to do evil, to do something wrong over here. Afayidei Dibor, that's the play on the word over here. That it says even speaking over here, Mishul Dibor is there. Shinis Haytem Olav Tarichu Nyom. I told you if you do these things, you'll have a Arichas Shomim, and you're instead doing things wrong that will take away the bracha. Rav Adi Barava Amar Yochi says from here, Kidvar Hashem Boza, that you said the Dvar Hashem you made light of, you made negative over here. No, the impossible maskarin. If you do stop and you don't say the Shema, what's your reward? I'm a Revo, all of a Kosovo, about such a person says, but this Dibor, by not saying this Dibor, you can have a Richas Yomin. If a person has his garment wrapped around his hips, mutal across Kriyashma. So that again, is this gartel that we're talking about. Rashi says, L'chasoso mimasa l'mata, from your hips and down, you're covered up. So that's perfectly good. Okay? Afa pi should be masiv lamalo hayarum. Even though above, you're only wearing shorts. You're not wearing an upper garment. Now, l'chatchila, you should never do this. Remember, we have hikol, but you're in a shaset chak over here. You're going to miss man kriyeshba. You just got out of the pool, whatever it was, out of the mikvah. And you have your just shorts on, so then you can say kriyeshma. Tanyam yochel, hoise talisa shall beg it. You have a garment over here of cloth, or shalor, or leather, shal sak, or a sack type of a garment. Chagura masiv, it's wrapped around your waist, so your body parts below the waist are covered up, and you have the chatzitz over here between libo rosh erva, or your eyes seeing the erva. So then, in all these situations, mutar likros kriyashma. We turn to chopei amunal, following today's daf. Avu l'tvila, but for shmona esrei, ad shiachasis libo. There, you have to cover it more. So Rashi says over here, tzorichu laharos esatzim ka'omi l'vnei hamelech ulamo be'ema. For Shmona Esrei, you have to be on a higher level. You're davening right in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I Shema, Shema, Shema. He says, Avo Kriyash Ma, Enum Adab Lefi Amela. Kriyash Ma, you're acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not as if you're standing. Of course, you're always standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not the same level. I always heard from my Rebbeim, when you take the three steps forward and backwards at the beginning of the Shmona Esrei, you should imagine yourself walking into the Beis HaMikdash. Well, imagine yourself standing and walking in front of the Kotel, because you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Shmona Esrei is the highest level of the davening. It's a higher level than Shema even. And that's why there are stricter dinim in terms of interruptions, stricter dinim in some ways in Shmona Esrei than Shema. Even though Shema is a daraisa, and even though Shema is Kabbal Ochus Malchus Shemayim, each of them has their milos, but the Shmona Esrei is the ikka part of the davening here. Ravuna says, Shachach v'nichlas v'tfilin v'esakisa. If somebody forgot, and he's wearing his tefillin, and he goes into the bathroom, what should he do? Maniach yodo lehem, cover them up. Talking about the show Rosh over here, Achi Yigmar, until you finish. One says, what? Achi Yigmar? You keep on going to the bathroom for 15 minutes? No. He says, Achi Yigmar, so could I duck? No. Elo, Kedomer of Nachum v'yitzuk, Achi Yigmar, Amud Rishon. You can finish off that, so to say, that urination, that defecation that you're in the middle of, and now you can pause and not continue with the urination, not continue with the defecation, that's what you should do. Why not just stop right away? A person can control himself, maybe, to stop right away. Why finish the flow that just came out, or the excrement that just came out to finish that off? Why don't you just stop right away? The lips will be out there, the leg come, and then get up, go outside, take off your tefillin, and then come back inside. Where says, Rishim, the Rishim Gamaliel. What did Rishim Gamaliel say? The Tanya, Rishim Gamaliel, Mayor. Maybe it's ultimately a drokot. If you stop in the middle over here from defecating, it could lead to very bad medical problems. Rashi says over here, drokot, is choli ha-metzadeh es ha-keres. It like swells up your belly, some sort of a ascites, some sort of a swelling in your belly. It's not good for you. It's not healthy for you. Seelan chos, if you try not to let the urine that's about to come out, so that's also not good. Maybe it's odem le-yurako. It's going to lead to some sort of a jaundice, Rashi says. So therefore, these are dangerous. So for sakana, you don't have to stop. But as soon as you can stop without any being in danger, even though you still have more to go, that you should certainly stop if you didn't realize that you had your tefillin on. Itmar, we asked in the base medrash, Tzoal b'soro. Here we enter another interesting conversation about the importance of cleanliness of the body. And that's why people that unfortunately have certain types of medical problems that they can't keep their bodies clean are actually parted from davening. And this ends the whole interesting discussion about catheters and about the, all sorts of devices that withdraw a urinary catheter, a colostomy, a ileostomy, all these sorts of medical devices that we have that Baruch Hashem are life-saving or very, very important. So what is the status of davening? So if they're covered up, that's there's lots of room to be made, that you can daven, as we'll see in the Gemara. But if a person isn't able to control his body fluids, a person has a bad diarrhea, an infection, or whatever it is, so then they're not allowed to daven. They're actually part different daven because you must have a clean body. This is a very important idea, so we have a clean body. If a person has excrement on his body someplace, on his body includes around the rectal area, it doesn't mean that you're holding it in your hand. Or your hand is even inside the window into the bathroom. So your hand is in the bathroom. Not that there's excrement on it, but your body is in a place, part of your body is in a place where you shouldn't be davening. So if Ravuna says, no, you still can say Kriyashma. And Chizda Amar also likos Kriyashma. That's an improper way for a person to say Kriyashma. What's going on over here? On the Rava, my time with Ravuna, what does Ravuna say you're allowed to over here? How come Ravuna said mutal likos Kriyashma? He says, Tiksiv, call him a Shama Taloka. The place where your neshama, your breath comes out over here. So your mouth has to be in a clean place. As long as you don't have excrement, your mouth's not in the bathroom. Your mouth doesn't have excrement around it, so then you're allowed to go say your mouth and your nose. That's the critical part. You have a little tzol on your toe. You have a little tzol someplace else. That's nishkefel kunt ravuna. We don't paskin like that. Paskin rechista. Rechista mar also likos kriyashma. You're not allowed to be kriyashma. My time the rechista. The same. Kol atzmasai tamar nashem. Mi kamocha. Your whole body, so to say, is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore a person has to be very clean. That's why there's a whole section in Shulchan Aruch about cleaning yourself properly, but make sure that you don't have excrement around yourself before you go to the bathroom, before you daven, after you come out of the bathroom. Itmar reyach rash yesh lo ikrin. Now here we're going to discuss excrement of two possible sources. One, there's physical excrement there that's foul smelling. Then there could also be excrement there that's not foul smelling. It's dried up or it's not foul smelling for whatever the reason. And then you just have sometimes without a source, there's just foul smell over there. It used to be something over there, but it's no longer there, but the odor is still there. The person goes to the bathroom, he flushes the toilet, so there's no excrement right there, but it still may be foul smelling. So that's what we're now discussing. So we start off here, itmar reyach ra sheish lo ikur. You have a foul smelling substance, it has substance to it. There's a foul smell there with substance to it. So Rav Huna amar, marchik dalet amos v'kori kriyashma. You must separate yourself, dalet amos, from the place where the excrement was, not where the smell stopped. From the place where the excrement was, and as long as you separate yourself, dalet amos, from the place where the excrement is, you're allowed to daven. No, you have to move 4 amos beyond from where the odor, the malodorous smell was. That's how far you have to go. More than 4 amos from the excrement, because the excrement's there. The odor is, let's say, another 2 amos. So you have to move 6 amos from the excrement, which is 4 amos from where the odor stopped, and then the kori kriyashma. Tiny kavosi ruchis. We have a brayis in support of ruchis. Said lo yikra adam kriyashma lo kineged soas adam lo kineged soas klavim lo kineged soas chazeru. You're not allowed to read against all of these types of tzoah. Tzoah's adam is the most foul-smelling. Other animals' tzoah may not be so foul-smelling that they necessarily imply some of these dinim, but these animals' tzoah are foul-smelling. That's what this Brisa says. Many point out over here that Tzoas Tarnagolim, Tosa says over here, is really talking about, if you look in the top Tosa towards the end of it, he says, Sheisham Sirchon Godo. We're talking about a lul. The individual little chicken dropping is not going to be so foul-smelling. But you're in a chicken coop. You haven't been in a chicken coop. It's very foul-smelling. So it's talking about really that you need a lot of the chicken manure over here, the chicken waste over here, to have this status. And then finally, we have below. Now, the gears that we have is kineged tzoas ashpa, but the gra takes out the word tzoas, and he says kineged ashpa, a garbage area. And you have the side also, so the shas takes out lo kineged ashpa, katzorich lomar. Fine. Sherecha rat, that has a foul odor over there. Now, in, this is a tiny kavasi through Rav Chista. V'maya makom gavo. So you're not allowed to be within the odor over here of the bad odor. You have to be moved 4 hours away from the bad odor. V'maya makom gavo asar tvachim or namuch asar tvachim. You should see the recovery. But if it's in a separate rishus, it's not something that you're smelling or something that you're seeing. It's in a separate rishus. So then, even though you're in physically 4 amos of it, since it's halachically in a separate rishus, so then you're allowed to read kriyashma. V'imlav. But if it's not in a separate shus, machik malo enov, you have to not be able to have it in your sight, a line of sight. You have to move away more than dalet amos. And this was for shma v'chein l'tefillah. And the same thing applies to shmoneh esrei. And here we get to the real tiny kavasi part over here. Reach rash yesh lo ikar. If there's a foul smell that has substance to it, so machik dalet amos mi makom areyach v'kori kriyashma. Oh, tiny kavasi rechista. Here's the exact support of what rechista said. Amar Rava, less hilchusa ki yomas nisi. He says we don't passing like this over here, and the gears that we have b'chol hanishmaisa. So it says on the side, so it's a shas. The riff and the rush take this out. Elo, what do we passing? Rava said, Elo kiha the tanya. We passing like the following brisa, which is lo yikari adam kriyashma lo kineget soas adam. We shouldn't be anywhere near human excrement. Lo kineget soas chazerim, and not near the tzo of chazerim. We'll see the mouth of a chazir is a very foul smelling area. Even if it comes out of a bath, it's still considered like a ovichol meraglayim or a graf shori. It's considered like a container, a foul smelling container. So there's something unique about the pigs. They're very foul smelling. Lo kineget soas chazerim, lo kineget soas klovim, dog excrement. Bisman shenasan oros lesochem. But this Bryce says it's only these are very foul smelling over here, only if they're made as part of the tanning process. We brought down the other day that the dogs were rewarded because there was no dog. In this week's parasha, no dog was Yachrach Lashono. They didn't bark on the night of Makas Bechoros, so therefore they were rewarded. One of the things they were rewarded with, they also Kelatash Lachlunosol, they get the nevelas and trefas, but they're also given over here the reward that Soas Klovim is used to make leather, and which is used to make tefillin, which is used to make parchments. So therefore, this type of a zechus, so to say, was given to the dogs for going against their natural grain of not barking on the night of Makas Bechoros when the Malach HaMavis was all over the place. When death was occurring, they would have been barking, so they didn't bark. So in any event, the Tzoas Klovim is specifically used over here, and that's what it's foul-smelling. But on its own, it's not so foul-smelling. So therefore, that's the one point that he disagrees with. It doesn't dispute the Tanya Kavosi, the Rav Chisda. Barmi name of Shesh, the answer of Shesh is the following Shaila. Reach Rasha ain lo ikar. Here we just have the foul smell without any substance to it. Mahu, what's the din over here? Amalho, he said, Asu chazu hanitzifi de beirav. Look at the mats they had in the base medrash. In those days also, they didn't have dormitories with air conditioning and central heating and game rooms and all sorts of things. The dormitory was the floor of the base medrash, and they took out mats and they slept on the floor of the base medrash. So that's the tzipe devei rab, the mats over here, machatzol shalvei it's a medrash. And they just plop down over there, and that's when they go to sleep. They wake up a few hours later, they go back to learning. The hani gon of hani garasi. Now, not all the boys went to sleep at the same time. Someone went to sleep earlier, someone went to sleep later. No, when people sleep, they pass gas. So how are they able to learn in the base medrash if there's passing gas over there? So you're allowed to. Oh, haraya, then if there's no substance to it, you can keep on learning. That's only for Divrei Torah, that were makel over here. But for Kriyashma, they wouldn't be allowed to do that. They wouldn't be able to say Kriyashma if there was a foul odor there. Even though there's no substance to it, it's just past guest. And we only said Divrei Torah is Ela Dechavri. That's your friend past guest, you can continue learning. But if you pass guest yourself, then you have to stop, wait till the bad odor passes, then you continue learning. It might so of eres, you have over here somebody carrying a graf shori. No, you're in the A bed over here, and the nurse is coming in from the B bed, and she's carrying out the bedpan from the person. So you're allowed to daven while that bedpan's being carried out. You don't smell the odor, so you were allowed to daven beforehand, but now it's within your dalet amos. So what's the halacha? So Abayomar mutar likros kriyashma. You can continue saying kriyashma. Rav Amar also likros kriyashma. Rav says you're not allowed to. Why? What's the reasoning? So Rabbi, I mean the law. Where do I get that you're allowed to say kriyashma over here? It's not because we have a Mishnah Kedushin that says hatomei ome tachazila. Now this tomei person over here is talking about a mitzora. So you have a mitzora underneath a tree. Now the tree is mile over the mitzora, and anybody in the presence of the mitzora is going to become over here also tomei. So hatomei ome tachazila. You have the person who's tomei standing underneath the tree. Vatar over, and a tar person also passes underneath the branches of that tree that he's under. So the trees are now mile over both of them. So Tomei, the tar person became Tomei. That's when the Tomei person was standing still. Tar Ome Tachas Ilan, if you have the tar person standing still underneath the tree, the tummy over, and the Metzora is walking by, continuously walking, he goes under the tree, he doesn't make the tar person tummy. That tar person still remains tar. The Imamad, but if he stops, so now they're both stopped, then tummy. Ah, the same thing would be if you had a piece of brick, let's say, that had a nega on it, and the same halacha would apply. If it was standing still, it's metami everybody. If it's moving, it's not metami everybody. That's what Bayit does it. If the tzoh is moving, it's not metami you, so to say. You're allowed to say kriyashma. We don't halachically view it as if it's there. It's on the move, so you're allowed to say kriyashma. He brings this right from the menuga person or stone. Rabbi disagrees. There it talks about, is it kavua? It's only when it's kavua that it can transmit tumah. Because the pasuk says, moshavo. He only transmits tumah if he's standing in his place, if he's sitting in his place. So the pasuk tells me that moving isn't important over there. But here, by davening, by kriyashma, Torah says your entire camp has to be clean. It doesn't say it has to be sitting. It has to be clean. The whole lekka, and it's not clean if the excrement is over there. So that's why a rabbi said you're not allowed to say it. Amre papa, pi chazir kitzoa over is domi. The mouth of the chazir is always considered foul as if it had so inside of it. Where it says pshita, we know chazir are slobs. They're very foul smelling. They're picking around in the excrement all the time. So they always have excrement. That's why the Gemara always uses the expression, it's like a pig with a nose ring. When something's inappropriate, so they use bedavka, pig with a nose ring, because it's like excrement and putting a beautiful diamond on excrement. It's pastish. It doesn't make any sense. So that's why they use that expression, because the pig's nose is always mucking around in the garbage. So the Gemara says, Pshit, of course not. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha, avagav the soli minara, even though it just came out of the bear. It just came out of the river. So mistama, all the excrement has been rubbed off. But nevertheless, we consider it like a graf shori'i, a urinal, a bedpan that has no excrement in it right now. It's still something that's considered you shouldn't daven right next to it. Rabbi Yehuda, sapek tso asura, if you have a sapek, is it so there, it's also asura. Sopik, that's for excrement, solids. Sopik, meraglai mutarim, but if it's only a sopik, whether there's urine there, urine isn't as strict as tzoa. Tzoa is daraisa, no matter what. Urine, it's only connected to flow. When the urine is coming out, you're not allowed to do certain things. But once the urine is there, the urine doesn't have the same halachic status as excrement. Ika, the army, others explain this a little bit differently. Omer, Yehuda, sopik tzoa, babayis. If you have a sopik and there's a tzoa in the house, muteris. Then you don't have to assume that the house is tamik, and they didn't have 17-room houses. They had one-room house. So if there's tzoa in the room, you shouldn't daven in that room. So therefore, if there's only a sopik, is there or is it not? Since it's not normal to have tzoa in the house, they would go outside to the bathroom. They would go outside to the outhouse. So it wasn't normal. So there's only a chashash, you're allowed to daven. The ashpa, however, in a garbage dump, is presumptively tzoa over there, so asura. Then if you're not sure, you have to presume the worst. But if it's only a question, is there urine over there? So even in the garbage dump, you'd be allowed to go down if the only concern was, is there urine there or not? This is based upon what Rav Nuna said. And this is based upon what I just told you, that urine is technically only going to be osur as it comes out. After it's come out, it's technically not osur. The rabbis instituted that you shouldn't daven in front of urine. But minadin, midaraisa, it's only when the urine is coming out. And this is Kedur Yonasan, the Yonasan Rami. In one pasuk says, Siv, v'yati eluchom michutz l'machane, v'yotzos, you should go over there outside the machane. You have to go to the bathroom. And the other place says, you have to cover it up. The first passage didn't say you have to cover it up. The second passage says you have to cover it up. Knew what's going on. Okay, it's not. So it depends. Kind of like gedolim. When the passage says you have to cover it up, that's for gedolim, which is the words that we use for excrement, for solid waste. And kambiktanim, where you just have to go outside the camp. It's possible they should go urinate in the camp. They'll go outside the camp and urinate over there. But then, once the urine comes out, there's no technical obligation to cover it up. Amok tanim lo asur Torah. So you see, urine, once it's out, isn't awesome in our Torah to daven next to it. Elo, kineged amud bilvad. It's only the actual flow of the urine when it's coming out that you can't daven. But the rabbis instituted you shouldn't daven next to the urine. As I just mentioned, the Torah says that once it's on the ground, technically you could daven next to it. Because it's pasnish, the rabbis put up a getter over here. And when the rabbis made the gzer over here for the urine, they only made it bevadan. Only if you definitely know bevadan that there definitely is urine over here. They didn't make a gzer over here. If there's maybe urine, maybe not urine, you're allowed to go lekula. So the rabbanan lekula. Or bevadan akama. And how much urine has to be there in order for you not to be able to daven over there, mean the Rabbanan. So Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kol Zman Shel Matfichin, if your hand would feel wet when you touched it, so then they're still considered urine over there, as opposed to if it dried up. And we have many other Amarim, two other Amarim, they say the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Rechenu Amar Rabba Baruchan, Amar Yochanan, Kol Zman Shel Matfichin, Rechenu Amar Ula, Kol Zman Shel Matfichin. So these three Amarim all say over here, if the urine is still moist, if you touched it, you would feel wetness over here. There's different levels. If you touched it and you would become wet yourself, that's a higher level. If you would just feel the moisture over your hand wouldn't be wet, that's what matfichin is. And then there's dried up urine that you can see that there was urine there. Rishuma Nikar, that's another level. And that's what Geneva said. Geneva's name of Amora, Mishmei the Rav, he said over the following vart, the name of Rav, on my Kozman, Shirishuma Nikar. Even if it's dried up, you touch it, it's not wet, but you can see the mark still there from the urine. It hasn't totally been absorbed into the ground. So then, that's not a lot of daven midirabana next to that. So there's really three levels. We haven't had the third level over here mentioned yet. So you have the level where it's so wet that it could still wet something else. That was we'll get to that. Then we had matfichin over here with it's wet, but if you pulled your hand away, you feel that it was wet, but your hand wouldn't be wet. And then it's totally dry when you touch it, but it's rishumo nikar. So Geneva was the most machmir opinion, and then the other three of Amarim were the middle opinion. Amar Yosef, Sharolei Mari le Geneva. He said an expression over here, Hashem should, so to say, forgive Geneva for misquoting the Rebbe, for misquoting Rav. Hashtet Soa, Rav Yehuda, Rav. Rav Yehuda said about Soa that if it's dried up, it's okay. Kivin shikarmu panea mutter. So Soa is much stricter than urine. So if the Soa is dried up, you're allowed to daven next to dried up Soa. Salach has come and come. Mary Gaimi, boy, would you even have to mention that it is dried up urine, Rishuma Nika, that you're allowed to daven next to it? So I don't know where Geneva got this from. Hashem should help him because he misquoted the Rebbe. Amalei Abaye, my chaz is the same chaz ha. So my chaz, why are you relying upon this statement of Rav? I'll show you another statement of Rav where he seems to say like Geneva. The Amar Rav, but Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Tzoa, Afilu Kecheres Asur. Even if it's dried up like an earthenware pot, so nevertheless, it's still Tzoa. You're not allowed to daven next to it. Dechidami Tzoa Kecheres. What does it mean Tzoa Kecheres? How dried up is that? Amar Rav Baruchan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Zman Shezor Kovein Nefreches. It's dried up, but if you throw it, it wouldn't crumble. Others say Vikadami, because man should go lola. If you rolled it, which is a machlokas, which one is more dried up? Rashi seems to say that the golola is more dried up, if I remember correctly. Rashi says, Chumruhu, afal pi, shim zorka, nifreches, hovein, nifreches, migliglo, lechli. Says it's more moist if you roll it. Dried up, if you throw it, that's a higher level. Others say the exact opposite. In any event, ain't nifreches over here, that's the amount that you need to be dried up, either throwing it or rolling it, that will be considered dried up. So you see that dried up, so it has to be really dried up to be not able to dive in next to it. So maybe the urine also has to be really dried up. So why are you trusting the first statement that we said in the name of Rav that if so is karum, if it has a crust to it, then it's dried up enough. So it's certainly urine. Why not the second one that says even the so has to be really dried up? So Ravina, have a kamina commit. We don't know which answer yet. So Amar Ravina, he said, have a kamina commit the Rav Yehuda midifte. I was once in front of Rav Yehuda midifte and chazit tzoa. We saw some tzoa in the road. Amalei ayin, he said, we want to daven over here. So go and check over here. E karmu panel ilo. Like the first opinion, go and see. Just it had a crust on it, so to say. If it's dried up enough, then we can daven over here. Like the first opinion. Ika di amre hachi amalei. This is what he told them. Others say this is what he told them. I can go look in miploy apluye to see if there's like a peel as an elephant because it has like those folds in its skin. So go see if there are cracks over here in the tzoa. That tells me it's dried up enough. So no, we haven't resolved our issue. My havi Allah. How do we resolve the issue? What is the amount of tzoa that needs to be dried up? What's the amount of urine that needs to be dried up? So itmar tzoa kecheres. So the answer is the tzoa has to be dried up to be like cheres. Amei mamar asura. If it's not dried up, it's also to until it's dried up that much, it's also to daven next to it. Mazidra mamuteres. No, if it's dried up that much, he yells just like kikrum. You only need a little bit dried up, not that much dried up. Amar Rava, how do we paskin? Hilchasa tzoa kecheres asura. We paskin like the more machmir opinion over here that the tzoa has to be dried up to the stage where it's kecheres. However, meiraglayim kos man shematvichim. There we take the more cooler opinion that if it's moist, then it's not. But as long as it's not moist to the touch, even though rishuman is nikar, so then you're allowed to daven next to it. That's the psak of rubber.
Kecheres, when it's crumbling, or what's
so like the cheres, we had different opinions as to how much it has to be. It has to be somewhat dry. Meisve, we ask the following shayla though. Bryce seems to say otherwise. Meiraglaim calls manchematrichin at surim. Here it says that if it's moist, it's asur. Nivlu yavshu mutarin, but if it's absorbed into the ground, then it's mutar. My lav doesn't mean absorbed into the ground. Nivlu dumyo de yavshu, like it was dried up. My yavshu de ein rishuma nikar, af nivlu de ein rishuma nikar. So it has to be dried up so much so that you don't even see the remnant of it. Kash on what we just passing like Rava. Where it says implication being harishum and nikar asur, not like Rava just said. Even though it's not wet to the touch, kasha. Shmuel says, and what? You have no problems? Emiration. Look at the first part over there. Cause mashmatvichin the asur. It says over there, if it's moist, then it's asur. However, that implies harishum and nikar shari. So the implication of the ratio is different than the implication of sefer. So what do we see? We have this all the time. You see on the side, elamihal lekalim mishma minay. Sometimes you can't learn out from the implications because the implications of the ratio and the sefer are the exact opposite. So each one is telling us a din, but you can't learn out dafka the implications. It's often said for parallelism, even though it's not the implication. So we're not left with an answer yet. We know how Rav Paskin, but we're not left with a clear cut answer. So Gemara says, Lema ketanoim. Maybe this whole thing is a machlokas tanoim. We've been having Ulam Amarayim over here. Let's say it's a machlokas tanoim. Kli shenishbichu mimenu meraglayim, also likros kriyashma kenegdo. If you have the urinal and you pour it out the urine from it, you're still not allowed to go daven by it. Umeraglayim atzman, and the urine itself, shenishbichu, and it falls on the floor, nivlu, if it's absorbed into the ground, mutter, lo nivlu asr. If it hasn't been absorbed into the ground, it's asr. Implying rishuma nikar, it's asr. Rav Yosef Meir, no, kol mashma tzrichin, as long as it's moist, that's what you can't daven next to it. But if it's not moist, then you're allowed to daven next to it, even though rishuma nikar. My nivlu or my no livlu. What exactly are the two definitions? I already told you. The Karma Tanakama, the Tanakama said nivlu, lo livlu. Ilema nivlu, dein matvichin. If you tell me that absorbed means that it's not moist. And lo nivlu, the matvichin. And not absorbed means it's still moist. So then, the Asar of Yossi is coming to add on to that. Lemeima, cause my matvichin, the Asar, Hari Shumanikar, Shari, Haino Tanakama. If that was his interpretation, then we'd be saying the same thing. There'd be no machlokis over here. So you must interpret it like the way I read it the first time. Ella, nivlu means it's absorbed. The ain rishuma nikar. That's the more machmir opinion. Lo nivlu means the rishuma nikar. That's the Tanakama, saying that it's the rishuma nikar is the critical aspect. And also Rav Yossi, the more makel opinion, lemeimah, cause mashematrichin hu diyosur. Ha rishuma nikar, shari. It has to do with how wet is it. If you touch it and it's wet, even though your hand doesn't get wet from it, you feel the moisture though, then it's asur to daven. But if it's dried up and you touch it, you don't feel the wetness. Even though rishuma nikar, the more makel opinion says, that's okay to daven. Where it says, no, don't say this is machlokes tanoim. Lo. Because in fact, the kuliyama calls mashmatichin hu diyosur. Ha rishuma nikar, shari. No. Actually, from here, both opinions say that it's only if it's wet to the touch that it is a problem. And if it's just rishuma nikar, it's no problem. Everybody holds like the makel opinion. Everybody holds like Rava Paskin. So what are we talking about? There's a machlokas over here. So what are they arguing about? Oh, betofeach amenas latfiach ikabinayu. Here we introduce the other opinion that I said. It's so moist that it would get your hand wet if you touched it. Not that you just feel the moisture. So the first opinion would say you have to have to the point where it's just moist, even though your hand's not going to be wet. And the second opinion, Rav Yossi's more makel, says no, it has to be so wet that your hand gets wet from it. And he says if your hand wouldn't get wet from it, even though it's moist, you'd still be allowed to go and daven over there. That's the different levels. So it, again, the smell is different than the actual urine. There's two different ideas over here. Smell is different than the actual urine. You always have to be machik away from the smell, and you also have to be machik away from seeing it. So you either have to cover it up, or it's not considered an existence. In these situations, it's so far gone for urine, because there's no din d'orais over here, it's only d'rabbanan. So the rabbis only instituted d'rabbanan over here when there's no foul smell, and there's no real substantive urine over here. Again, the three different shittas as to how much is considered substantive urine. Next, Yored Litvol, Yochu Lal Zuchuli. We had in the Mishnah that if a guy goes into the mikvah, he's Tommy Balkari, went to be Tovo like Takonis Ezra, and now it's close to Zman Kriyashma. So what should he do? So if he can have time to get dressed and stay outside the mikvah, get dressed, stay outside the mikvah, Kriyashma. So Gemara says, Lay Mo Tano Kistomik Rabbi Eliezer. Let us say that the Tano over here holds like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, because we're talking about Netzachama. The Omar Adi Netzachama. So you have to say Kriyashma only until Netzachama. The Vasikin is the end time, not the beginning time. It's the end time to say Kriyashma. So, Mestama, the Tan of our Mishnah holds that you're not allowed to say Kriyashma after Netzachama. Shmuel says, no. I feel the Rabbi Yeshua. You can even be the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua that says 3 hours into the day. But even Rabbi Yeshua holds with Dilma Kivasikin. He holds that there's an optimal time and an acceptable time. Right? Anybody davening now at the 7:30, we're going to miss Vasikin. But it's still Halach Lamaisa, Lechatrila. You can daven at the 7:30 minyan now. So that's Heter Gomer. But it's not Vasikin. So the guy here, he wanted to be Yotzi Vasikin, so that's why he came out of the mikvah and quickly said before Netzach Hama, and if you don't have time, he can even say it in the mikvah, because he wants to hold like the Vasikin. Remember, Yochanan Vasikin, you're going to say even Netzach Hama. That's the more optimal, the ideal time to say the Shema. And if you can't get out in time to get some clothing on and cover yourself up, then you can say it in the mikvah itself. The whole problem we had, that you're naked. So even though you're covered up, but you're naked, and you're lave, and you're erva, there's no separation. Now we're in a gartel. So Amar Belazar, V'yitem Ravacha Baravu, whoever was that said it, Baracha, Abba Baracha, he's named after his grandfather, Mishum Rabbein, the name of Rebbe. Sometimes Rabbeinu is Rebbe, sometimes Rabbeinu is Rav. B'mayim achurim shanu. That here we're talking about where the waters are muddy. They're not clear water. The domu ka'aris mitzvah, it's like a muddy ground. Shelo yira libo erva. And that can erva so. So this can function over here, that there's a separation between your lave and your erva. Tan Rabbanim, mayim sulim, if you're in perfectly clear water, yeshe behem atzavar ovakari, you're allowed to go sit in this clear water and read kriyeshma as long as it's up to your neck, so your head is not seeing your lave. However, the Yeshomim Ochim Miraglov, you have to go kick up the dirt at the bottom and make it muddy, so that goes like the opinion that Libo can't be seeing the Erva. The Tanakama knew, why didn't he say that? He was old, Libo Ros Erva, he didn't know that was a problem. Tanakama Hari Libo Ros Erva, why didn't he say it's a problem? Because Libo Ros Erva's mutter. I Vare Ikva Ros Erva, your heel is going to see the Erva. And that's also a problem. Kisavar Ikva Ros Erva, he says mutter, that's not a problem. Now, we have a whole discussion about this in the Beis Medrash. Itmar, ikva ro'es erva, if your heel sees the erva, and the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rush, they bring down, it's not only your akev, it would be any part of your body that sees your erva has to be covered up. So, he says, this opinion says, ikva ro'es erva is mutter. No, this opinion says it doesn't have to be covered up. No geya, but if the heel of your leg is you're sitting squat and your heel's touching your erva, that's a problem. I am also. And Rabbi says, no, nishkefelo. Rabbi Amar Mutter, it's your heel, it's not your hand. Your hand can't touch your erva. Your heel can touch your erva. Rav Zid Masi Law Lahoshmai Sahochi. He learned it the way we just said. Rav Chinin Abrei the Ravika Masi Law the following way. Hochi, the way we're about to learn it now. No geya diri akolos. He says, what are you talking about? No part of your body is allowed to touch your erva. Not your heel, not your hand, for sure. Roa. It's only if there's a question you could see the erva. So to say, your heel is in direct line with the erva. There's nothing separating. It's not covered up. Then Abai Omar Asa Rav Amamutur. Why? Because they'll give the Torah to Malachi Asharis. Because Rav holds it, the Torah wasn't given to Malachi Asharis. People can't function like this, and that's too high a madrega. So therefore, the whole reason for the, other than your hand, it's all exera. You may come to touch it with your hand if you touch it with other parts of your body. So he wasn't gozer on that. How do we paskin? The word says, V'hilchasa nogeya asr. You're not allowed to have any part of your body touching your erva. Your heel is not allowed to touch. But roa mutter, but if your heel were to see the erva, i.e., you have your gartel on above your waist, and below your waist, there's no gartel. So if your heel would be seeing your erva, that's not a problem. You can't see the erva. You can't see it with your eyes. You can't see it with your heart. Then you have to have a separation. But if your heel sees the erva, nishkefela. Amar Rava, tzoa ba shashis mutar likros kriyas shma kenegda. This is very important in terms of the catheters that I mentioned before. If you have tzoa inside a lantern, and ashashis is a lantern, so it's in other words, it's in a glass container. So you're allowed to read kriyas shma next to it as long as it doesn't have a foul smell. So a catheter normally doesn't have a foul smell, so therefore, when it's permitted to daven, you should ideally cover up the catheter so you don't see the urine or the tzoa, but as long as there's no foul smell, so then a person would be allowed to daven there. It's considered enclosed, and the din is that it just has to be separated from you as long as there's no foul smell. But erva b'ashashis, if a woman is not dressed properly and she's behind the glass wall, but you can see her, that's not acceptable. Also, erva b'ashashis is awesome. Likros kriyashma kinedi. You can't read kriyashma next to it. Now, tzoa b'ashashis mutter. Why is tzoa permissible over here? Why is the tzoa not a problem? Because mutter likros kriyashma kinedi. Because the tzoa b'kisi talimilse. It just has to be covered up. And, of course, no smell. V'ar mitzvah. And it's covered up, so therefore the catheter that has the urine inside of it is not a problem. The glass that's containing the excrement over there, as long as you don't smell it, so even though you see it, it's not a problem because it's covered up. That's called covered up. However, erva b'yashashis is also liquid creation of kinedah. Why? Because there it says you shouldn't see it. It doesn't say it has to be covered up. There it says below yera b'chol erva is davar am rechmana b'chol miskazia, and here you can see it. If you have a little bit of excrement over here, a very small amount, you can be mevatel it by spitting on it. What type of spittle? Amarava, ubirok of it. It has to be covered up. If you're covering up, again, it has no smell, so that's acceptable. Amar Rava, Tzoa Beguma, Minich Sandalo Bekori. You have Bekori Kriyashma. You have some excrement in a little hole over there. You can put your shoe over it, and that's called covering it up also. Again, as long as there's no smell. By my Bered the Ravina, Tzoa Devuka Besandalo Mao. My, what happens if the Tzoa is attached to your sandal? Person never stepped on something in the street, and now it's on the bottom of his shoe. So is that covered up because you can't see it and you can't smell it? Is that called covered up, or is that called on your body because your shoe is attached to you? My, take it. We don't come to an answer over here. Amar Yehuda, Akum Orum, also likos Kriyashma Kinegdo. There's a naked Akum, you're not allowed to read Kriyashma next to him. Where it says, my ear, ya Akum, I feel you saw Nami. What does it make? Who it is that's naked in front of you? Why would that have me over here? Where it says, Yisrael Nami. Where it says, Yisrael Pshit, the lady Osir. I would have said a Yisrael, his Erva is called an Erva. But I might have thought that the Erva of an Akum is not called an Erva. El Akum, it's Tzrichalei. You need to specifically tell me over here that an Akum is not considered over here an Erva. Ma'u, the Tema, because I might have thought, Hoch, Sibu, Asher, Besar, Chamor, and Besarum, that they're in some ways, and it's not a knock against the humanity, this is a Kedusha thing, and they don't have the same Kedusha as we do. So therefore, by us, there is a certain kedusha to the erva. By them, you might have thought that they don't have the kedusha to the erva. I might have said that they're halakhically like a chamor. A person's allowed to daven next to a naked donkey, a naked cow. They're always naked. So that's not a problem. So I might have thought that you'd be allowed to go daven next to your maidservant, your evan, your friend, or whatever, who's not dressed properly. They're also called erva. The pasuk says, by Noach, it says that Shem, Chom, and Yafes, when they went to Noach, he was drunk. And they saw him, so it says that Shem and Yafes didn't see their father's nakedness. Now he was a guy, he was a Ben Noach, right? So therefore, the problem of Erva applied even there. The Erva Savim, so the father's Erva is called an Erva, so even by Goyim, their Erva is called Erva. You might have thought that maybe it's not the same level of Kedusha. No, bottom line is, it's also called Erva. We'll stop over here. Have a great day, everybody. We caught up a little bit, we're still behind. These Dafim are very blown, but very beautiful.